Good evening, everyone. Before we start, I'm just going to allow another 2 or 3 minutes for people to familiarise themselves with some of the papers that have just been handed out, because there is an item of urgent business this evening. So there is a very brief paper which has just been handed out now.
There are three documents, Chairman, aren't there?
So, just to confirm, there are two items. There's an urgent item of business that relates to the response to North Yorkshire County Council's consultation on a proposed one-way system. That contains an annex, which is a letter from North Yorkshire County Council, but they are together as one item. And there is also, well, the minutes of the Grants Working Party have also been distributed, because that meeting only finished about 30 minutes ago.
Have you not got a copy?
No, I've got no. Okay, good evening, everyone. I'm going to make a start. So welcome to this Policy and Resources Committee here on the 29th of November 2018. Can I confirm that all members have a copy of the agenda papers, please? Okay. So the first item on the agenda is the emergency evacuation procedure. I can confirm that we are not anticipating a fire drill this evening. If one does go off, it is for real. Members will be aware that there is a fire exit to my rear, and there is also a fire exit towards the back of the chamber, which is for members of the, sitting at the gallery and also members of the public. Agenda item two is apologies for absence. Can the committee clerk confirm without any apologies, please?
I've received no apologies, Chairman, thank you.
Okay, Councillor Andrews.
Sorry, apologies from Councillor Thornton.
Okay, thank you. We'll note those. Agenda item three is declarations of interest. Do members have any interest to declare under the Code of Conduct? Councillor Andrews.
I've got personal and pecuniary interest in the grants on the Pickering Fisheries Association grant. So I was wondering if we could take that separately so I could vote on the rest of the grants. Is that possible, Councillor?
It is an en bloc decision, but I'm going to be kind and grant and do it as an exception for you. So we will deal with all the grants en bloc. We will deal with that one separately, at which point you will need to exit the room.
Yeah.
And then, as you will note, the way we are dealing with grants now changes, so it's not voting on the minutes. They are dealt with as separate items before this committee.
Okay, thank you.
Councillor Burr.
Thank you. I don't think this is my... Anyway, I'll use this one. It's absolutely fine. Just to say that I'm a county councillor and this has just been put in front of me tonight, so I do think I need to declare an interest.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Duncan?
I have to declare an interest as well in the matter of urgent business. I'm a member of North Yorkshire County Council and represent the division concerned.
Okay, Councillor Arnold.
Exactly the same, Chairman. I'm a North Yorkshire County Councillor for the urgent item. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Wainwright.
I've been lobbied, Chairman, on item 8.
Thank you. Councillor Steve Arnold.
I've been lobbied on regards to Moulton School Sports Centre.
Thank you, Councillor Vapor.
Ditto, same lobby. Same item.
Okay, Councillor Gardner.
Yes, me as well, a letter. Yeah.
Thank you. I have an interest to declare in the item 8, the Moulton Community Sports Centre. I have been lobbied, and I also have an interest to declare in relation to the urgent business item. I am a property owner in Norton, and I would be indirectly affected by the proposed changes, and also my family live in some of the vicinities affected.
Sorry, Chairman, I've also been lobbied the same as everybody else.
Okay, thank you.
Thank
you. Councillor Andrews, you are signalling. You're not a member of this committee. Okay, thank you. So we're now going to turn to agenda item 4, which is the minutes of the last ordinary meeting held on Thursday the 15th of November 2018. As chairman of the committee, I move the minutes as a correct record. That's seconded by the vice chairman, Councillor Raper. You signalled.
It's item 5, Chairman.
Apologies if I mispronounced. Sorry, it's item 4 of the minutes. Do any of the members wish to speak on this item? Okay, no, in which case, let's proceed to the vote. Councillor, Mrs. Burr?
No, it's been lost.
We lost.
One moment.
It's on the top table.
Chairman, that's unanimous.
So I think you had a promotion there, Lindsay, to the top table. Okay, so we're now going to turn to agenda item 5, urgent business. So I can confirm that there is one item of urgent business this evening, which I've decided to take as chairman of this committee. Under section 100B, provision 4B of the Local Government Act 1972, I am entitled as chairman of the committee to bring forward an item that I consider urgent if I give special reason. I believe there is a reason to bring forward this item this evening, as it has only come to light within the past 7 days, and also the public response to this has only been apparent within the last few days. Therefore, I consider it necessary to bring it forward to this committee, particularly given the huge amount of interest in this item. Gary, you're the lead officer on this report, so please can you briefly introduce it and present it to members of the committee, please?
Thank you, Chairman. I'll be very brief. What you have before you, I hope you've all got that before you tonight, is a very brief officer report relating to this urgent matter. What there is also attached to that report is the letter of consultation from the County Council, and with it a plan of Norton. Councillor Wainwright, do you have? Yeah, you got that. Just for the benefit of the audience, I'll just quickly explain what this is. The consultation which we received somewhat out of the blue last Thursday, dated the 22nd of November, was a consultation on a proposed experimental one-way system in St Nicholas Street in Norton-on-Derwent. Probably most of the members will know where that is, but it's actually the linking road between Langton Road and Wellham Road towards the centre of the town. The letter attaches a plan showing a proposed experimental one-way system for part of St Nicholas Street. And I'll quickly read through what the letter describes, because I think that might help everybody in the audience. The proposal is to introduce a one-way stretch of road on an experimental basis from the junction with Wellham Road to the car park, that's the St Nicholas Street car park. The permitted direction of travel would be from Wellham Road towards Langton Road. Two-way traffic would be maintained from Langton Road, but only as far as the car park entrance. The aim of the one-way system is to discourage the use of this residential street by through traffic. The letter then goes on to say an experimental order can run for up to 18 months, during which time traffic flows can be monitored and comments from interested parties collected. At the end of the experimental period, the decision would be made whether to make the one-way system permanent. To enable the proposal to be progressed, I'll be grateful to receive your comments in writing before the end of the year. And as I say, the plan attached then gives an arrowed description of where traffic would be able to enter St Nicholas Street from Wellham Road, but traffic in the opposite direction would be prevented from going past the car park entrances. I think that was somewhat of a surprise to officers, because as members of this committee will recall, certainly back to the July meeting of Policy and Resources, where we presented you with a detailed report on the connectivity study, there's a piece of joint work that's been going on between the county, ourselves and other interested parties, has been very much on the basis of going forward on a whole place model, a holistic model, rather than potentially looking at ad hoc solutions to particular problems as might be perceived from time to time. The report sort of draws reference to the July report, but also gives an indication that what's happened in the intervening period, because the county have been working themselves in the background, and those of you who are local members will probably be aware of the counts and traffic data that's been collected very much in October. And that information, that data, has been collected to inform the creation of a detailed traffic model for both of the towns. So, in other words, it's a whole model to then to look at things as a total entity. That traffic model is a very extensive piece of work.
And I did in fact receive confirmation later this afternoon that the VISIM micro-simulation traffic model, which is being created by WSP, who are the consultants dealing with this work, is not likely to be completed and validated until the end of March next year. It's at that point then we can then model simulations which might include one-way systems, not just in one location, but if you block off a street here, what's the implication there? It's a whole settlement approach looking at all the junctions. In advance of that, Chairman, I think this was a complete surprise to officers that this proposal came forward seemingly on an ad hoc basis. Officers are very much aware that we do need to keep working with county because they're a key player in the solutions, but we are very concerned about this potential short-term one-way system in this location because it could displace traffic elsewhere locally in the road network with no other wider solutions in the towns.
Why are we taking this now and not under item 12?
Because I consider this urgent. I can determine the order of business, and it would be helpful in terms of the officers we've got here this evening for it to be dealt with in this way. So as chairman, I will move the officer recommendation, which is seconded by the vice chairman. Yeah, moving it, and then we'll have a debate, and then we'll go to the vote. So I just wish to speak on this item first, and then obviously I'll come to everyone else. So first of all, I think we all understand the seriousness of the issues at the level crossing, and I think we all appreciate that congestion plagues the towns of Moulton and Norton, and urgent action is required, particularly when one considers that shortly additional train services will be introduced, and also it has been suggested some new development will take place in Norton to quite a significant extent. Because of this, we have already committed large sums of money into studies and to understand what can be done to improve the situation, and we have signalled that we potentially remain ready to invest further funds in the future. To receive this consultation out of the blue is deeply disappointing, and I have never in my 7 years of being on this council known such anger in a community. The level of response from Norton in particular has been absolutely huge. I understand that there has been over 5,000 interactions on a person Facebook. I believe last night a Facebook group was created where 2,000 people joined within an evening. So it is really significant. And to cause this distress out of nowhere, like I said, is surprising. And I would like to know as to where this proposal originated. I believe that this proposal could have huge consequences, and when one considers what those consequences could be, they are profound. It is going to push traffic onto Church Street and Commercial Street, which have shopping. Do people really want to go shopping there if it is plagued by continual congestion? It will also push traffic onto Basley's Lane, which we know houses a number of horse racing establishments, which could be dangerous. It will also be pushing traffic into areas where you've got an increased amount of children. All of this needs to be considered, which is why it's important we take a holistic approach, and that's what we're doing as part of committing sums to the traffic surveys, etc. So I think that this suggestion completely undermines that work. What's the point in spending huge amounts of money on a traffic model if on a whim you're just suddenly going to introduce a new one-way system that is directly related to that model? I therefore think we need to send a very strong response to the county, and like I said, this approach is deeply disappointing. The Vice Chairman, you seconded. Do you wish to speak?
No, I don't, thank you.
Okay, I will come to offer Councillor Duncan the opportunity to speak next as another ward member affected in Norton.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. I don't want to say too much about this proposal. I am totally opposed to it, but I will be consulted formally as the County Council member for Norton, and will be sending a full response to that consultation. However, I feel that tonight the response of Rydal District Council has got to be the response of Rydal District Council, so I don't want to talk too deeply or delve too deeply into the ins and outs and some of the issues, other than to say that I do thoroughly endorse the letter that has been drafted and would be supportive of it. I, as I say, will be writing a full response to North Yorkshire County Council. I held a meeting yesterday with David Bowe and a representative from the Area 4 Highways Office that was over at County Hall to discuss the opposition that has been mentioned already. As Lucas said, I don't think I can think of an issue which has prompted such a strong public opposition in such a short space of time, and it does seem to be pretty unanimous opposition to it. I haven't found many people who are in favour of it, including people who actually live on the street concerned and at which this proposal is supposed to benefit. So I will be very happy if Rydal District Council could support this draft response, and as I say, I don't want to delve into too much of the detail of this particular committee, because I think it's important that it's a response of Rydal District Council.
Thank you, Councillor Duncan. Councillor Burr, as another county member and also a representative for a neighbouring ward concerned, I will allow you to speak next.
Thank you, appreciate that. Maybe I should have declared an interest, got properties on Commercial Street. Well, first of all, we can tell that the authors of this particular report don't live anywhere in this vicinity, because they haven't got a clue what they are doing to Norton when they are proposing this. So that's the first thing. The second thing is to bring it to us so late in the day, without, I don't think, thorough consultation is not very helpful, and it's not in the stance that we're all trying to have, is working together and trying to do things jointly. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that I'm not sure the response is strong enough, but that's just my personal opinion, and I probably, maybe not as a county councillor, but maybe as a member who a resident who lives in Norton, I might write on my own and put my own strong views of why I don't support this. I think it's actually totally undermining what Norton is trying to do to get a good traffic flow and to actually help Commercial Street, because it's on its knees at the moment. It really, really is struggling, because at the moment it's just a car park from the crossing probably up to the library. It's a nice car park because the traffic just does not flow. So this would exacerbate it. It would make Wall Street, Church Street and Commercial Street just unbearable, whilst there are some merits in looking at doing different things. I think that this is just trying to bolt things on and not thinking about the whole. I think what's got Norton people so angry is in the first instance is the change in the way the traffic has now been forced to move, because that has actually caused all these problems. And maybe, you know, having a really good look at that, and was that the right idea? Yes, if you live up Wellham Road, and, you know, my in-laws live up Wellham Road, it's fantastic. You've got a fantastic run out, and it's great. But that is not where all the majority of Norton and the new build is going to be. 600 houses are coming into Norton on the other side, and we must be able to filter that traffic in. And it's no good looking after the Wellham Road area because they're only a small proportion. We've got to look holistically at the east side of Norton, where all these 600 houses. So I feel really strongly about this, as you can tell. So I would like to be much stronger with our response, but I'll go with it. And as I say, I think Norton is really getting a bad deal from county at the moment. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. Councillor Rapier.
Thank you, Chairman. A lot being said that I absolutely agree with by the previous three speakers. I think you act in haste and repent at your leisure. And this is a classic case of we'll be repenting for an awful long time if this goes ahead as proposed on the documentation we've got in front of us currently. To change a one-way street halfway along a street is unprecedented. It just isn't done in the highways. You use a whole street or you don't bother, in my experience of many years driving roads. I don't know of another case where it happens. In a town centre. Holistically, it's been used, the term holistic have been used several, by several speakers so far. I don't think this has been looked at holistically. It's been looked at individually in isolation. And in that respect, it has merit. But holistically, it has no merit. I won't be supporting such a scenario personally. And I think, yes, this letter is a little bit... slack in the sense in the severity of the wording. I would be a little more robust in the phraseology possibly, but that's just me. So we have to be diplomatic with our partners, of course. We need to look at the whole of Moulton and Norton together as to how to deliver a road system that works. And the thing is, I don't think this would work. It would cause a lot of problems. People would come down that street and not realise it, and then how do they get out of it? Well, there's a car park you can turn around in. That's if you can get into it in the first place and then get out of it again in the second. It's a big problem waiting to happen, and I don't think we should go anywhere near it. And I, for one, would be very sad to see this occur. I've said enough. One other thing I think that hasn't been looked at present time, and I think we ought to look at and needs some looking at as well, is come a flood, where does the traffic go when you've got a one-way street saying, sorry, you can't come up here, and the other roads are flooded and you can't traverse them at all anyway, where that's been a way out of getting around flooding in previous flooding events. So it's a big no-no as far as I'm concerned, Chairman.
Councillor Wainwright.
Thank you, Chairman. To use an agricultural term, the county made a pig's ear of the junction at Church Street and Wellham Road, and now they're doing another stupid idea to try to get round that by making it a one-way street. And I can't really see how that's going to benefit the railway crossing or the Church Street-Wellham Road interjunction without the change that junction. So I'm in favour of sending the letter, and I'm very much against this being made a part one-way street, Chairman.
Thank you. Councillor Andrews.
A couple of things. The first thing is just to change the date on top of the report, just in case the public do look at it. It's got the 29th of October, and I presume we didn't know about that then. And it's just if people are interested in this and see, and they think this council has known about it for a month and sat on it, that's all I'm saying about that one.
Yeah, I think the conscious tune that in haste we've had to put this report together.
Absolutely, yeah, I totally get that. It's just that, you know, if it's a public document. The second thing is I tend to use Bramley Fields and don't ever get into that area of Norton. I tend to go if I'm going into... So I haven't seen the chaos that obviously does happen. But I don't see anything wrong in sending this letter to them as the strength of feeling seems to be very much that it should go. Thank you.
Thank you. Do any of the members wish to speak on this item? Okay, it has been suggested that we perhaps use stronger terms. And just looking at the recommendation, it's stating that we endorse the proposed letter. Rereading it now, I believe that perhaps we should consider move an amendment, which is that this committee objects in the strongest possible terms the proposal and fully endorses the letter and encourages it to be as strong as possible. Okay, that's seconded. So that's an amendment which I'm moving, which is that this committee objects in the strongest possible terms and fully endorses and encourages the strongest possible response from the council specialist service lead. Okay? Those in favour, we'll go straight to the vote on that one. Yeah.
This is not going to full council, it's just a part A, is it? So there won't be any other councillors take... views taken into consideration, is that?
Yes, it is a part A at the moment, and ordinarily this would, you know, consultation responses like this would just be an officer delegated item.
Right.
Because of the strength of feeling in this and the public, and also the fact we've dealt with the connectivity studies at the Policy and Resources Committee previously, okay, I decided to bring it forward as urgent business. I think it's important that we let North Yorkshire County Council know our strength of feeling as soon as possible. Clearly, if members wish it to go to council, for that to be even more apparent, that's an option. But I do think we need to show our strength of feeling as quickly as possible. So if we just vote on this amendment, first of all, please.
Chairman, that's unanimous.
Thank you. Before we go to the vote, Councillor Mrs Shields has indicated to speak, who's in the public gallery. Certainly, as a member of the ward that will be indirectly affected by this, so we'll allow you to speak. If you are able to come and speak into a microphone, please, so it's recorded, that would be very helpful, please.
Thank you very much, Chairman. Yes, as somebody has already said, perhaps a couple of members have indicated, the problem arose really 2 years ago, nearly into December 2 years ago, when without consultation the County Council decided to change the layout of the road. And the Wellham Road and everything off it can come sweeping down around the corner and so on. And we've had several near misses, one accident, fortunately nobody desperately hurt. But at the same time, that is the origin of all these problems. And trying to provide half a road as a sort of outlet is quite ridiculous, because, again, it is going to affect other roads. It's going to affect the Langton Road horrendously. When you think of all that, the school up there and all the children and the problems we already have up there. And, of course, it's going to be even worse for Basley's Lane, which is a private road, which is very curvy, right at the bottom, is really quite dangerous. And to imagine a whole lot of track going up and down there with the horses is going to be quite disastrous. I think that when it comes to full council, all Norton members, now there are two members here at the moment, yourself included, Chairman, but at the same time, there's another member, Councillor Dykeel's not here tonight, she's at work. She can't come, and I think that, you know, we also deserve to have a right to speak about this. And Di, of course, herself lives in St Nicholas Street, and I'm sure we'll have a word on it. So I just wanted to make sure that hopefully at some later time, you know, all the Norton members may get the chance to have a word about it. Otherwise, I confirm, you know, and support what you have already suggested, Chairman.
Thank you, Councillor Mr Shields. Like I stated, this is a part A item, so it's not currently due to go to full council. But of course, you know, this will be the response of the council, but also members are entitled to give their views to the county council in their own right. Okay. Councillor Duncan?
I would just like to say that I think... given what we've heard from the public, I think it's pretty clear what our response should be, and I can't see what benefits there might be of it going towards to full council. I think there will be time for that to happen, but in terms of members who represent Norton at district level having their say, obviously the three of us are here tonight, Di has made clear her support for this proposal in the newspaper this week, and I think it's probably worth, just in terms of giving a bit of timetable of how this came about, a meeting took place on St Nicholas Street on the 15th of November, which Di was present at, along with the Director of the Highways, David Bowe, and the Improvement Manager at Area 4, Tim Coyne. And that is where this idea has emanated from, directly from that meeting. That was a breach of North Yorkshire County Council's internal protocol. I wasn't informed about that meeting. I wasn't invited to that meeting. It was extremely disappointing to hear about the proposal retrospectively. And I feel that if I had been involved with that discussion and there had been wider consultation, particularly with other members of this council and Norton Town Council, that this situation could have been avoided, and the level of public opposition that there has been could also have been avoided. So I know Di isn't here tonight, but I think she has had her say on this proposal and has actually shaped it to come into being. So I'm satisfied for this council to proceed with giving its views from this committee this evening. I would encourage all members of who are district councillors, county councillors for other wards as well, and also the Norton Town councillors to have their say and write to Area 4 as individuals, and I will make sure that they are taken forward. If you'd like to copy me in as well to those emails or correspondence, I will make sure they are taken forward. I have to say I am disappointed that this has come about, and would just stress again that personally I did not know about this proposal until it had already been agreed, which is of course extra disappointment. I think not just that this council hasn't been informed, but as well as a county council member that hadn't been involved with that. So that's just a bit of the background. As I say, that meeting happened on the 15th of November. It's now the 29th. This came out a few days ago to members on that street and also other statutory consultees as well. So the speed at which this has happened as well is extremely surprising, and there have, you know, that has been noted at other levels as well. So I just thought that's worth giving that extra information to this committee and give that reassurance that Norton members have, I think, now all been involved with having a say on this.
Thank you. I mean, it's just quite extraordinary, really, for a meeting to take place on the 15th of November, a private meeting, and then for this to come out in a matter of days later, considering how many items have we previously discussed with the County Council and the speed at which things traditionally move, is absolutely astonishing. So for this to come out in a matter of days and for there to be no pre-consultation with the District Council, I'm sure that we would have helped nip this in the bud. No consultation whatsoever with Norton Town Council. And for there to be a meeting of Norton Town Council after that private meeting at St Nicholas Street and nothing to be said to the members, nothing to be said to the county member concerned, is absolutely amazing. And like I said, the public outcry is just astonishing from Norton. It's been an absolute earthquake. When you consider the population of the town, which Moulton and Norton combined are just over 10,000, for there to be over 5,000 interactions on Facebook alone, for 2,000 people, 2,000, to join an opposition group to this in a matter of hours is absolutely unprecedented. And I really do think that the county should completely understand the sheer frustration and the sheer anger that there is in the public. Absolute astonishment. And I, like I said, not only am deeply disappointed, I'm very angry about this. And so I think the message needs to go out loud and clear. This is not acceptable. And I'm sure that if this went forward, it wouldn't be the end of it for the District Council, because we will fight it all the way. Councillor Wainwright. Sorry, was it? I did see another hand up. Okay, anyone else wish to speak on this item? Okay, let's go to the vote.
Chairman, that's unanimous.
Okay, so that's unanimous, and like I said, I really hope that is acknowledged at the county. And thank you, Gary, as well, particularly as this item's come forward so late in the day. I really appreciate you turning the report round and the draft response there in such a tight time frame. So we're now going to move on to community grants, item 6, outlined on pages 11 to 12 of your agenda papers. So I will ask the chairman of the grants the Grants Working Party to briefly introduce this item and take questions from members.
I would just like members to endorse the community grants recommended by the Grants Working Party held on the 5th of November this year on pages 11 and 12.
Okay, just to confirm, as I agreed earlier, which item, which part was it?
That's the second bit.
Oh, that's the second bit, item 7. Okay. I'll second that. No, I won't, because I'm not on the working party. Councillor Val Arnold, you second that. Okay. Councillor Andrews, you have indicated you wish to speak. I don't think I've received prior notice, but I will welcome you to speak to the committee.
Purely in regard to the school's application for...
That's agenda item 8.
Right, that's fine then.
I will come to you when we get to agenda item 8. Okay, if no members wish to speak on this item, let's proceed to the vote.
And unanimous vote, Chairman.
Thank you. So we're now going to turn to agenda 8 and 12, section 106, grants recommended by the Grants Working Party. I am going to deal with this in two parts. Councillor Joy Andrews, sorry, which part again did you say?
Pickering Fisheries.
Okay. So Councillor Arnold, the Chairman of the Working Party, is going to introduce this report apart from the fisheries item, which we'll deal with separately.
Again, I would like members to endorse the grants, 106 grants recommended by the Grants Working Party held on the 5th of November. Did you get that?
Thank you. Any questions?
Seconder.
Councillor Gardner.
Yes, just curious. Kirby Moorside Sportsfield Car Park was knocked back on the earlier three applications refused, and now it's come up again and it's deferred. Please, could you explain that a bit more?
There were four applications from Kirby Moorside Sports Club, all asking for the same thing. There was one application for a main amount of money, which we've deferred for further questions. And because we haven't got enough information, so little information about who parts where, what it is, what it's any. So we want more information before we make a decision. That's why.
Okay, so we are, grants are traditionally dealt with as exempt items. If we wish to ask detailed questions on the finances of the organisation or any exempt information, then we will need to move exempt. Answering your question was exempt, Councillor Gardner, but it's just as a warning to members, if you do wish to ask any questions about some of the detailed stuff, because it relates to another organisation, we should go exempt. But I think it's right that, where possible, we hold debates in public. Any further questions? Okay, so let's proceed to the vote, please. So it wasn't actually seconded. Councillor Val Arnold, I assume you're going to second. Let's proceed to the vote.
Chairman, that's unanimous.
Okay, thank you very much. So we're now going to continue on agenda item 7. Nikki, just your microphone. So we're going to continue on agenda item 7, but turn to the fisheries item, of which Councillor Andrews did declare a prejudicial interest in and has retired from the room. Unless there's any questions to the chairman, I'll ask that he moves it.
I move it.
Seconded, Councillor Arnold. Okay, let's go to the vote, please.
And that's unanimous also, Chairman.
Thank you very much. Welcome back, Councillor Andrews. So we're now going to move to agenda item 8, the section 106 relating to Moulton Community Sports Centre. The reason why I've arranged for this to come separately is because of the amounts of money involved, which is significantly larger than an ordinary section 106 grant. I'm going to ask the chairman of the Grants Working Party to briefly introduce this item, please.
Ask the committee to endorse our decision that we agree to recommend and approve the recommendation to give the school the money to rebuild our school, our sports centre.
Okay, is that seconded? Okay, thank you. Are there any questions? Councillor Duncan.
Can I just ask, in terms of the amounts of money that we're talking about, it doesn't actually state, I don't think, on the minutes from the Grants Working Party. Could you help me out with that one? And also, in terms of the history of this application, I think it has come forward in the past, and it's something that has been discussed. And I was just wondering if you could fill me in with a bit of the history of this particular application for the Section 106 money.
Okay, so in relation to the amounts of money, if you refer to page 13 of the agenda papers, it does outline the recommendations that have gone to that Grants Working Party. There have been no amendments made at that Grants Working Party, so currently the recommendation is £220,000, which represents 27% of the total project cost. Okay, yes, this item has gone to several working parties. It has not come before the committee for a formal decision before, and that's simply due to the request for further information given the amounts of sums, the amount of money involved. Okay, Steve.
We have made various conditions on giving this grant to the school, as had Moulton Town Council asked for certain conditions, and we've asked for additional conditions to make sure that the school are providing what they say they're going to provide. And the conditions are, I think, are on your papers.
Okay, Councillor Wainwright.
No doubt, Chairman. When the Grants Working Party were making their deliberations, they looked into the fact that they could be taking customers away from other private enterprises doing the same thing within the market town. Did you find the information that you were given that was not going to be the case?
We did. School had done some good surveys about the other gyms around Moulton. And farther away from Moulton, and we looked at the fact that their work will hardly ever overlap what the other gyms are doing, because some gyms do weightlifting, some gyms do other things, and they will provide an entirely different service, and that's why the recommendations have gone forward, to make sure they are doing the services they provide, so they're not going to overlap, and we're not going to overlap with the gyms that we provide as well, because they're providing a slightly different service. Moulton School will do more supervision than they do at the other gyms.
Okay, if there's no further questions, we're going to move into the debate. Councillor Arnold, do you wish to speak on this item?
No, I don't think so. I think I've said enough. You've got enough. All I will say is there's an awful lot of information that we have that you haven't got. There are 400 pages of information about this grant. So if it does go any further, you will all need to get all this information. Because our decision is based on going back, looking for more information, and I felt it was time that if we could, it didn't go back again.
Okay, before we get into the main debate, Councillor Andrews, you've indicated you wish to speak on this item. You are a ward member, and therefore I'm going to invite you to address the committee, and then, of course, I will then come to Councillor Mrs. Bowser, another ward member affected.
Yes, well, first of all, I would like the committee, I'd like to thank the committee for postponing their latest deliberations until the meeting of the Town Council had discussed this two nights ago. I really do appreciate that. And I think that was the main concern for what we wrote to you, because we felt our views were not being taken into account. When this matter came to be discussed, there was concern that there might not be sufficient of a market to actually provide this service, and that therefore there would be a possibility, as Councillor Wainwright said, of private businesses being prejudiced. However, the view was taken this is an application for match funding. It is going to go to Sport England, and Sport England will have to make a thorough investigation of all these matters, perhaps a lot more thorough investigation than we can. And the view was also taken that the head needed an opportunity to have a go. He wanted to have the opportunity to make the application, and he couldn't have that opportunity unless he got the promise of this grant. We also understand that the grant will not be issued until Sport England has approved the final scheme, therefore we felt that the head should have the chance to make the application. I have to emphasise that this is the view of the Town Council. I actually abstained. Thank you very much, Chairman.
Thank you, Councillor Paul Andrews. Councillor Buller.
Thank you, Chairman. Mention has been made to a large amount of money. Yes, a large amount of money, but a huge amount of payback. That is something that everybody needs to really get to grips with. In 2011, when I campaigned for the sports centre, it was always a long-term vision to expand the facilities, which would benefit Moulton and Norton, but also the outskirts of the towns. That is seen regularly. I go, and it's seen regularly on a Sunday morning when all the football teams are there and they're all training, and it's such a fantastic sight to see that. So I'm really, really pleased that eventually, after time, this has been given a vote of success from Rydale. I did attend Moulton Town Council, and as Councillor Andrew says, it wasn't supported by every member. Holistically, they all voted. They voted for it, but it was not supported. So they had some concerns. But I don't think people sometimes realise what good work Moulton School does and the amount of money that it actually brings into the area. Over £1 million has already been brought in, and by us giving this grant, this will lever in a lot more. So I think what we need to do is to give Moulton a chance, because this is 106 money, and rightly it should be spent in Moulton. So we need to give them a chance to be able to try and lever this money in. Now, a lot has been said, oh my goodness, will it affect the other providers, etc., etc. Well, I think at the meeting of Moulton Town Council, this was discussed for quite a long time. And I think that there's a misunderstanding of actually what the Moulton School site does provide. I mean, the other centres they don't work hugely with local health providers, with the doctors and with other bodies. And what Moulton School can also provide is working with the local sports club. They can offer umpiring courses, referee courses, safeguarding and first aid courses. So it's a huge wraparound service that this facility will offer. So it's not just, oh, well, you know, it's going to let someone, you know, pump up and get, you know, big muscles. It's not about that. It's about everything else that goes with it. So I'm absolutely delighted that the Grants Working Party has actually agreed with this money, and I'm sure you won't be disappointed with the results. So thank you.
Thank you. Do other members wish to speak on this item? Okay, I am going to make a suggestion that this item is referred to for council simply given the fact it's in excess of £200,000. And I therefore think when you are spending such amounts of money, it does go to the attention of all members, despite it still being section 106. Unless there are any objections to that, in which case we'll go to a vote on that item, it will become part B. Councillor Burr?
Chairman, I have no problem with that. 106 monies to be spent in Moulton, backed up by Moulton Town Council, seems a no-brainer. But if you would like it to bring that to full council, that's no problem to me. Thank you.
Okay, unless there's any objections, we'll take it, the committee consents to that. Okay. Any other members wish to speak? Councillor Vapor?
Very quickly, Chairman, concur with what Councillor has been saying. It's a no-brainer. It's going to leave Rhyn a huge amount of other people's money, government money, Sport England money, that we can't afford, in a sense, to provide for the school, or the school can't even provide for this for themselves out of their own budget. So it's reasonable for even such a large sum that we're talking about, it's a reasonable sum to spend on such a big payback for the area and the community living within this area. Because it can go, people can travel from far and wide to get to here, and it's accessible now.
Councillor Joy Andrews.
It is slightly different. We have Everyone Active has a gym in Pickering, but we also have a private gym that was built up by Peter Nelson Fitness at no cost to the public. He started off in renting rooms in the Memorial Hall, and he now rents a large warehouse on the industrial estate, which provides a lot of these things, and this was done as private enterprise. So it can be done if there's you know, an initiative for people to do it, and it is open and accessible from 6 o'clock in the morning till possibly 10 o'clock at night, providing lots of different things. I just wanted to say that I will be supporting this, but I just think it's worth saying that, you know, it can be done at not such a great expense.
Okay, just before I go to the vote, just wish to say a few things myself. First of all, I echo what Councillor Burr said in terms of the amount of activity that takes place at the sports centre. I know several people who attend that, and every time you tend to drive past, be it late at night, be it midday in the school day, be it on a weekend, there is always activity taking place. And I think it's great that we've got such a facility, and it benefits so many users. And I know a few months ago we welcomed representatives of Moulton School to the Resources Working Party. We had a very informative presentation, and it's great to see the success of that sports centre after only several years. On the substantive issue of this grant, I am torn at the moment on the basis that I still have concerns about the potential impact on other gyms within the area, some of which have been started through private enterprise, and I have concerns about investing public money to compete with private enterprises, especially when there's individuals have to earn a living, have to invest their own funds, take risk with capital, but also pay taxes, of which some come to this council, only for that money either to be indirectly used to subsidise another facility. This is slightly hot off the press in terms of the grants working party, and therefore I for one would like to look more into the detail, because like I said, I am torn, because I understand what a fantastic facility it is, and you know, very much support the decision, even though I wasn't on the council back then, to build such a sports centre, because there was no provision at that time. The question for me, is there already provision here, or and is it duplicating that, or is it something completely new for which there is no room within the private sector for that to take place? And I, ultimately, when you come to vote, it's a binary decision. I don't think there's necessarily a binary answer to this, but before I come to a yes or no, I really do need to look at some of the closer detail to this. And like I said, this is hot off the press in terms of the grants working party. Councillor Val-Arnold, you did second this item, so welcome to you.
Okay, thank you very much, Chairman. If it does come to full council, which is maybe agreed, I do urge everybody on, every councillor on Rydale District Council, to read all that information. I think it's only about 400 pages. So if they would like to read all that information, is what we've been doing for quite a long time on the grants working party. That's why we have recommended approval and obviously put the conditions on it. But I look forward to the comments made. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. Councillor Arnold, do you wish to speak again on this item before I come to the vote? Okay, let's go to the vote, please.
Chairman, can I just ask, what are we voting on? Are we voting on approval with a recommendation to full council?
So, yes, we vote. The recommendation from the Grants Working Party is approval. So that's the recommendation we are voting on. So favour, vote for in favour, against, for it not for the recommendation to be against. But this is now a Part B item, and it will be going on to full council next week. So it's not
with the recommendation to full council that they approve our recommendation.
Yes.
Chairman, that's 8 votes for and 1 abstention.
Thank you. So that recommendation is carried. Like I said, it will be going on to full council next week, which is in a week's time. But considering the length of time this has been going on, it is not a long time in the scale of things. Okay, so we're now going to move on to the Part B items. So the first item...
You're a stickler for... What we should be doing, what we shouldn't. Are you taking the next item under item 12, or are we going to continue with it? The Ampleforth application.
Okay, we're going to deal with the Ampleforth application now. Sorry, I thought that was incorporated in the other section where 6.1, so forgive my naivety, Councillor Wainwright, and thank you for your intervention. We'll deal with the Ampleforth item now. So once again, I'll ask the chairman of the Grants Committee to introduce this item and take any questions from members.
I'd like members to approve of the change in grant funding to Ampleforth playing field.
That's seconded by Councillor Val-Arnold. Do members wish to ask any questions on this item? Councillor Burr. Councillor Arnold.
Ampleforth playing field applied for a grant of £50,000, which they would have got if they spent so much money. But they didn't spend enough money, taking into account a lot of their... They did a lot of work themselves, and taking into account all the work themselves they did, they could not get the £50,000. They can only get £38,000 of grant funding from RIDO. And we couldn't give them any more money. And they've spent this money, yes, in good faith, expecting us to give them the rest of the money. And we can't, without approval. So they've come back to us wanting this extra £12,000, which is increases the funding from 50%, I think, to 65%, something like that. So they want this us to give them this extra £12,000 to top them up so they can pay the bills for the future. So that's why it's come to you. So we've agreed to set the funding. Unanimous agreement at the grants. So that's why it's come back to you.
Councillor Burr.
Thank you. That was eloquently put. I know we don't usually like retrospective things, etc., but in life, sometimes things don't work out just quite how we all plan them. And in good faith, they have done what they were doing and they've had a shortfall. Now, we're always being told about, you know, custodians of the taxpayers' money. Well, I think it would be irresponsible of us not to support them on this particular issue. Because, as I say, in good faith, they have tried their best. And I have every faith that the Grants Committee have actually looked much, much deeper than I have been able to look. That's why they've come up with this recommendation. So I would be happy to support that.
Thank you. Do any of the members wish to speak? Councillor Val-Arnold.
Right, thank you, Chairman. As I say, the actual, it's just the percentage of the grant, really, that's to increase the percentage, but no more money. There's been no more money, but we have to go to the grants because the percentage has increased, but not the actual money that they were originally granted. Thank you.
Do any of the members wish to speak on this item? Councillor Vapor?
Then we're talking about a technical problem here more than a physical, this is a sum of money problem.
Okay. You have six pages here if you want to read it.
Do any of the members wish to speak? Okay, let's go to the vote.
Chairman, that's unanimous.
Thank you. We're now going to turn to Agenda Item 9, the One Public Estate Programme Update, outlined on pages 15 to 44 of your agenda papers. Becky Bennett, as the lead officer for this item, please can you briefly introduce the officer recommendation?
Thank you, Chair. This report provides members with an update on the One Public Estate Programme, which covers the Public Service Hub and the Rydell House site. I'll just briefly pick out the key points from the report. Following the decision in April to progress with the Public Service Hub, good progress has been made on the feasibility works. However, at this stage in the process, the estimated costs of the new building have more than doubled, which requires us to take more time to complete further detailed assessment work. A confidential paper which was shared with members at a member briefing on the 7th of November has been attached to the report. And in regards to where we are now, we do need to look at possible further options and changes to the original design brief. And what is clear is that a strategy is needed to be developed to enable further decisions to be taken by elected members on this important project. Linked to that is the development of the Rydell House site, and again work has progressed on this particular project, which has taken us through to a tendering exercise which is looking at a viability assessment on this particular site. However, a decision on that can't be taken until we are clear about what is happening with the public service hub. The report does provide a table summarising the next steps in taking us through this process to the end of the financial year. And the recommendations as in the report are to recommend to Council that a full financial assessment is completed for the development of the public service hub for Rydale. Alternative options are investigated for this piece of work, and no further progress is made on the Rydale House site until a decision is made on the options for the public service hub. Thank you.
Do members wish to ask any questions on this item? Councillor Wainwright.
Have members of staff now been informed that things are on hold?
Staff are aware of the report that's being considered at committee tonight, yes.
Thank you.
Councillor Duncan.
Could I just ask, in the recommendation, it talks about assessment work. Is that something which will have a cost implication to it? And have you got any rough breakdown of what cost that might be, just to actually look into what is the right option, basically?
We don't have the cost to date, but that's something we'll be working on if this recommendation goes through. We are expecting some of this work actually to be undertaken by officers rather than others, but there is likely to be a cost. It is probably actually just worth mentioning as well, one of the key things behind why we've written this report is that both projects are funded by the One Public Estate programme, where we had funding for the feasibility work. So the work to date has been funded via that funding. And what we're very minded to do is make sure that until we're clear about where we do go, we don't draw down on funding further. So we'll need to go back to the One Public Estate to advise them on the next steps once we're clear. But one thing is for certain, that the actual original objective from the funding application that we were successful in securing was around the current situation is dispersed public services in Malton, and the hub is to bring them into one place, and that is still the objective.
Councillor Gardner.
Just to clarify, this financial assessment of the public service hub, is that to also include the a direct comparison assessment with staying here? Is that clear in this?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, with proper modern spec and things like that.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
Councillor Harper.
Just a thought that I'd had after the last meeting that we'd had on the briefing that we got. If this site goes for housing and we sell houses on here and, as a leasehold, there will be an income coming from such a facility as that back to the council. Are we having that particular income source factored back in to the council coffers as a part of this exercise, please?
That is one of the considerations, yes.
Any further questions? Okay, in which case I'm going to move the recommendation as chair of the committee. Is that seconded?
Yeah.
Okay, just briefly speak on this item myself. So when we set out on this project, the costs which we were initially provided by consultants were substantially less than what is now quoted. Also, if one looks back to the initial objectives, it was to work alongside other organisations to enable more efficient working. It was to reduce the cost to the taxpayer by reducing ongoing maintenance costs. It was to achieve a greater rental yield from partners. If one now looks at the current situation, we stand to end up building a new office with less space than what we currently have available. We do not stand to gain from reduced maintenance costs. we stand to lose our rental income because we would require our partners to invest capital. And also, I think you have to question whether our partners would be willing to invest significant capital and then, after a term of, say, 10 to 15 years, pay a substantially greater rent. I can't see them agreeing to that. And then also, you have to consider the capital commitment from this council. You know, when we were looking at £2 million, it was an investment to reduce costs. I do not think, on the basis of the finances currently presented, it would be a good use of money. Therefore, I think it's important that we look again at the current situation. Okay. What I do need to do as well is move exempt for the briefing paper that is provided, where it contains more detailed financial information, including that of some partner organisations. So even though this debate is in public, we just need to move exempt for that specific item, you know, those specific agenda items. Otherwise, if we don't, the whole part will become public at the end. So I move exempt only for that part. Is that seconded?
Yeah, seconded.
Can we just move to the vote on that, please?
That's unanimous, Chairman.
Okay. So we're now going to go into this substantive debate. Councillor Arnold, the seconder, do you wish to speak?
No, I'm quite happy to support this.
Okay, do other members wish to speak? No. Okay, in which so Councillor Burr?
I'm sure you know what I'm going to say. So I don't particularly think this was very well thought through. I think it was rushed. I don't think the long-term strategy was well thought out. I think the money situation had not been thoroughly considered, and I think it's just been a pig's ear from start to finish. Certainly residents in Moulton never ever wanted it to go into Moulton because of all the congestion and because of the pollution that we have in Moulton. We would be just exacerbating that. We've never ever invested in this building, and that was one of the main drivers that why we were moving, because this was such a bad building and it needed such an amount of money spending on it that we should go. And then suddenly we were told that we were going to downsize. And then all our partners, new partners were going to come. And so suddenly it was going to be a huge venture. So it was sort of rather like fitting an elephant, I suppose, into a shoebox. It was never going to work, but it was probably an aspiration, pie in the sky, and it sounds good and let's go for it. I'm not sure that everybody endorsed it, and I think probably it was driven through by some officers. I think it's really important to support what Becky is saying tonight, and I think we need to put the brakes on with this project. I think we don't need to waste any time and effort on it anymore. And I think that your report tonight, Becky, is excellent. I think huge amount of money, of taxpayers' money, as we always want to, you know, talk about taxpayers' money. It's hugely important that we don't squander money on knocking down a building and shoehorning a building onto Wentworth Street car park. I look forward to saying more at full council, but I really, really want to endorse what Becky is saying. And I think that the full council wants to take a really, really good look at this and seriously think about how we spend taxpayers' money.
Thank you. Do any other members wish to speak? Okay. Councillor Andrews, you are indicating, however, didn't receive prior notification, and this item is also going on to full council when you will have an opportunity to speak on this item. So if other members don't wish to speak, we're now going to move to the vote.
Chairman, that's unanimous.
Thank you. Councillor Wayne, like you've... It's not showing... It's now unanimous. It's done it now. Okay, so we're now going to move on to agenda item 10, Rydell's Financial Strategy 2018-2023, outlined on pages 45 to 54 of your agenda papers. Members will recall that we discussed a similar item only a matter of weeks ago, But given our commitment to be fully transparent and open with finances, another report has already come forward, and I thank the Chief Financial Officer for doing that. So now I'm going to ask Anton to briefly introduce this paper.
Thank you. And it is also helpful to me because, as you of course won't vote on the financial strategy until January, February of next year, when we start those round of meetings, but it helps me in terms of putting those final papers together, just to, when I get the chance, to bring something else in front of your eyes to see if you've got any particular views. So three areas which I'll deal with very briefly. The first are the objectives. Now these are key. Because they start the financial strategy, and we shouldn't underplay them. At this stage, I'm proposing that in number four we take out the reference to the Bramling Fields project, because it's history, if you like, but otherwise that they remain as they are. The second area is around reserves and balances. We've talked at previous meetings that we do have a significant level of reserves. Historically, they've been split into a number of earmarked funds, and we do need some earmarked funds, but again, a proposal for your views really is around streamlining that, partly so that we don't, constrain ourselves in terms of how we can use the money, and that we have a process brought forward which is not about how they've historically been turned, but actually what any new priorities are. And it was also, I think, at the meeting a couple of weeks ago, someone did ask how with any underspend I would then go about using these reserves. And that, frankly, is nothing to do with me. That is your role as members. And so to have a process in place where, of course, I'll make recommendations and tell you if you're doing anything that's wrong or crazy. In my view, my humble opinion, professional opinion, obviously, but really to have a process where we streamline those. We do have specific earmarked reserves. Actually, some of them are for some of the smaller items, but very important in terms of election expenses. Also, that we recognise in that process any legal constraints we do have, for example, about members' role in decision-making on New Homes Bonus Fund, for example. So it's getting your views on that. And thirdly, around the budget consultation, this is an exercise we need to undertake every year. In the past, the questions have been around service performance, I would suggest, as well, rather than particularly around the budget. Nothing wrong with the questions we were asking, but whether you want us, as we prepare this, to refer to some more budget areas, particularly around council tax, and whether you want to seek views on that. If we are proposing to do something different with council tax, my view is that we should probably at least mention and ask for views on that. So those are the three areas really that I'm looking for any comments on the budget consultation, more immediate than the others, because we would want to do that sooner rather than later, so that anything can inform the process in the meetings in January and February. And we'll also look at how we can try and promote that a bit more. You can see that last year we had three responses to the budget consultation. see if we can promote that a bit more. That's it, really.
Thank you. Any questions? No, in which case, I'll move the recommendation as chair of the committee, which is seconded by the vice chairman. Do members wish to speak on this item? Councillor Burr.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you very much, Anton. I'm really starting to get into all this now. And I think what I personally would like to see, and I think that I think we are moving towards that now, is that you've indicated that we don't have as much in reserves as we have done. I think that that's something that we need to pare down and make sure that it's in reserves for a reason, and we're hopefully going to spend certain amounts of it. And I don't want money sat in accounts like we've discovered and we don't spend it. So I think that that's just my one and only comment, but I do think that you are actually doing that. So I'm happy with what you're doing, and thank you for this report.
Any further comments? Okay, let's go to the vote.
Chairman, that's unanimous.
Okay, many thanks. So now we're going to turn to the final agenda item, which is outlined on pages 55 to 60 of your agenda papers, temporary appointment of a deputy chief executive. Ordinarily, the chief executive would introduce this item, but due to annual leave, which was agreed far before this item coming forward, that's not possible. So on this occasion, given it wouldn't be appropriate for any other officer to deal with this item, I'll attempt to take any questions members may have. Just to emphasise, this is a temporary appointment for a maximum of 12 months. Members would still be consulted throughout the appointment process, and at the end of that 12 months, it would be completely within the gift of members to determine that future, including whether at all to continue the post of Deputy Chief Executive. But the reason why this has come forward is there is an acute need for additional support and resource of the Chief Executive, given some recent departures from the organisation. And so, particularly with the election coming up as well, when there will be additional strains, and also that does interrupt any timetable for an appointment. I therefore support this recommendation on this occasion, because I think it still respects the sovereignty of members on this decision making, and I do believe there's an acute short term need. Do members have any questions? Councillor Burr?
Yes, Chairman, and I can understand why it's come to us tonight. But my question is that if the body who normally deals with this isn't going to, and I understand that, how are we going to ensure that there is not cross-party, but I want to make sure that everybody in this council feels that they have an understanding and have had some input. So, for example, I want it to be proportionally, not politically proportionally, I want it to be proportionally so that everyone feels, you know, and I don't know how you're going to, or you or Stacey are going to make this up, but I want to know who these people are going to be, or what thoughts are there. I'd like to know before I actually agree to this, because that's the only thing that I am uncertain of.
Okay, so I think it may be useful if I just read out paragraph 3.5, which states that although delegation is sought, elected member and workforce involvement in the appointment process is critical. Efforts will be made to ensure that proportionality is in place. For example, a cross-section of employees operating at different levels in the organisation and elected members from different political parties will be involved to support the Chief Executive's decision-making. This will take the form of question and answer sessions with candidates. Feedback from these sessions will then inform the Chief Executive's final decision making. Does that help address your question, Councillor Burr?
Thanks, Chairman. It does and it doesn't. I am more than happy to support this, but I just want to make sure that it's not seen as a political decision. I want it to be seen, and I'm not bothered about, you know, being there, but I just want to make sure that there is cross-party on this, because it was quite evident at a previous meeting when certain members of this council don't feel as though they are being involved, and that is really, really bad in an organisation. If we're trying to all work together, surely, because it's a big post, is this, and I know it's only part-time, well, not part-time, but it's only temporary. I just think that we need to try and work together on this, and I would be bitterly, bitterly disappointed, you know, if I suddenly found out that it wasn't cross-party. In fact, I wouldn't support it. So as long as I've got that assurity, that's absolutely fine.
You've got that absolute assurity, and it's here on public record, and it's also within the agenda papers as well. Councillor Joy Andrews.
Okay, thank you. Why aren't the Senior Contracts Working Party doing this?
The process takes time. The appointments contract, sorry, the Senior Management Contracts Working Party is not a decision-making body. It was still then had to go through the structures of coming up to council, etc. And with this being of a temporary nature and there being an acute need, and also when looking at the timetable with an election just around the corner, that's the reason why it's come forward with this recommendation. Councillor Andrews.
Thank you for the answer to that. I know you mentioned when you were speaking earlier that it is a temporary position, but we may look at it and it may become a permanent position. I think you mentioned, you alluded to that. I don't think you said the word permanent, but it could carry on, or it might be seen to be a need for it. And if we've had someone in place for that length of time, I just think we should go through the constitution, even if we have to maybe hold an extraordinary meeting after the Senior Contracts Working Party could give a recommendation. I just think we should be seen to be doing this transparently and how it's set out in the Constitution, personally.
So in response to that, as I stated, Councillor Burr, there will be a cross-party of people involved, and giving question and answer sessions. There is an acute need for this, and constitutionally it is within the gift of council to make that delegation. I stated before that this is for 12 months, and you know, any contract would be for 12 months, so it would be, you know, the council, it wouldn't continue before maximum, and at that point it would be the decision of council whether to if it wished to appoint a position to the person to the post. There would need to be a recruitment process. If council wished to disestablish the post, that would once again be a decision of council. So either way, this is most definitely coming back to members. The decision this evening is simply to give delegated authority. I can assure you as well that if there wasn't, certainly a cross-section of members expressed, you know, dissatisfaction during the recruitment process, you know, the question and answer sessions, I very much doubt the Chief Executive will proceed with that appointment, and I could also, attempt to bring it back to committee, but I'm sure that wouldn't be necessary, but that's why I'm giving the commitment. It will still be transparent and there will be that consultation. Councillor Duncan?
Yeah, it's been mentioned about the time frame and the fact this would save some time in terms of getting somebody into post. I do have a few questions about exactly if we do proceed with the recommendation. It talks about delegating the recruitment, and I would wonder what process might be involved with that recruitment in terms of actually finding people who might like to take up the position. I expect that might involve advertising that more, advertising that generally to people in the local government sector to find a candidate to fill that position. And if we are going to do that element of the process, presumably you'd have to do that with the if we were to go through the process of using the existing structure as laid out in the constitution. And I do wonder, on that basis, if you're doing both, having to do both of those things in both of these alternative, you know, both of the proposals that we could go for. I don't actually can't quite see where the time is going to be saved, because in terms of actually the approval process, we can call extraordinary meetings here of various working parties. We could also perhaps call an extraordinary meeting of council if we felt that the need was imminent. I think the thing that is going to take the length of time is actually trying to find the person, applicants, basically. I wouldn't want to agree for delegating a recruitment for there not to be any form of external advert or advert to our staff here. And that is a bit that is going to take the length of time. So my question, I suppose, is how is this particular option of delegating the recruitment, be that for 12 months, be that permanently, I have to say, I'm in favour of us appointing on a short-term basis, because I think we do need to look at our actual, the senior management, and whether we do need this position or not, whether somebody could fulfil it who is already here. So I think in that terms, absolutely, but I just do wonder, in terms of the time, which is a key thing here, how is this going to save time? And if you can convince me of that, then I will, you know, happily support this, but I just can't quite see it at the moment.
Okay, I think in answer to that, if one looks at the length of time it took for us to appoint a chief executive, you may understand some of the time constraints, because you need meetings to determine the recruitment process. You would then need meetings to review CVs. You would need meetings to, as part of the recruitment. Then you would need it still to go to council, and there would be cost associated in that. And so because of that, it's a series of meetings, whereas actually this is allowing the chief executive to make those decisions, but clearly in consultation with members and a cross-section of members as well. And because this is temporary, and because there's an acute need, particularly leading up to that election, it is, I think, quite extraordinary. And what I would hate to happen is for a recruitment process to be backed upon by the appointment subcommittee, only for that not to reach its conclusion, particularly leading up to an election. And we all know the difficulties that would cause. And also, when one considers as well any potential notice period, it does become extremely tight. And so whilst you may be thinking, oh, you know, in the best case scenario, it's only a matter of weeks, I don't think we've got weeks.
Just to come back on that, I suppose you didn't actually answer there in terms of how are we going to find the candidate under this model which is proposed of delegating responsibility. How are we going to advertise to find somebody suitable to do this position? Do we have any idea about that at the moment, as to what process is going to actually happen, what the chief executive is going to do to find candidates?
So there will be a recruitment process. You know, the chief executive will have to interview any person. There will have to be that involvement, like I said, with officers in terms of question and answer sessions, and also members. You would hope that the chief executive, being someone experienced in local government, would be able to use some of her connections, would be able to reach out to other organisations such as external recruitment agencies, but also it may be just approaching other authorities or other entities. I think that's within the gift of the chief executive to find the best possible candidate for this position within the time periods involved, and also the fact that this is a temporary post. I know for an absolute fact there is no one who is going to be shoehorned into this position. The chief executive would have told me that. It's to enable, like I said, this recruitment process to progress. Councillor Raper.
Thanks, Chairman. I'll put it bluntly, because there's no other way of putting it. Do we have any, or does the chief exec have anybody in mind currently? and are we going internal or external as a preference? Because personally, I would like to see us go external if we can, and get some fresh views and fresh air coming in with a fresh set of eyes. It's done us good with having a fresh set of eyes on the finance side of things within this council. And I'm thinking, and I'm hoping that that might be have a benefit to us in having a deputy come in and again reap a benefit from that. That would be the desire, but whether it pans out that way or not. But I appreciate all that you've said so far this evening. Thank you.
So I can honestly state, because you know clearly when I have conversations with the Chief Executive, we can be open and honest, and I know there is no candidate who is set in mind at this moment in time. And like I said, there's no one in waiting for this position. Like I said, the Chief Executive, I am sure, will attempt to find the best candidate possible and will go about that process using her vast experience in recruitment. Any further questions? Okay. In which case, like I said, I move the recommendation.
Second.
That's seconded by the Vice Chairman. The members wish to speak on this item. Councillor Joy Andrews.
In response to Councillor Duncan's question, you did say that we had a performance, if you like, is want of a better word, when we were looking for the new chief executive, and it did take a long time. But by our own admission, in the last few weeks, some of the meetings, it's been muted that things are looking a lot better. We have somebody in charge who's come to most meetings, observed and seen, and she's obviously come to the decision that she needs a seconder. We have a HR team now that are perfectly capable of getting this up and running in the minimum time possible. If you're going out to external advertising for this post, etc., and the chief exec is going to be interviewing, why not the senior contracts working party with her? Why not do it that way? It's in the constitution, and we are, like I said earlier, we call an extraordinary meeting if it's not within the time frame that we wish to get it approved by full council. I think questionnaires with officers and making members, it just seems we've got a procedure in place already to do this. Why change it?
Councillor Vapor.
Thank you, Chairman. I've made my comments based on the fact that if we do an internal promotion, as it were, that strain on the rest of the team in our administration might be put under undue stress and strain, and that would be probably to the detriment of individuals that we employ. An unacceptable level of stress. That's why I'm saying we ought to be erring on to an appointment from outside the organisation. And that's not to say that any of our current staff in the senior management would not be sufficiently qualified to fulfil this post. I'm pretty sure some of them would. But I'm conscious that our crew is of limited size numerically, and that's my only concern.
Thank you, Councillor Raypat. I can't comment once again on the internal, external, but what I can say is that one of the primary motivations behind this is to create additional capacity and resource within the management structure. Councillor Duncan.
You mentioned that you can't comment on the internal or external. Does that? I mean, I'm just looking at 6.5 here in the report, which says that if we agree to do the recommendation, that an open recruitment process will take place. Now, I'm not involved with recruitment in any way, shape or form, and I just wonder, what does open recruitment mean? It also states that internal candidates will be considered. Now, I read this to be that we will advertise to the broader world, basically. Is that correct? Because I'm just concerned.
Correct.
That
open recruitment means both internal and external.
Okay. on that basis, and I have to say, I know the point has been raised as well, if we were to recruit internally for this position on a temporary basis for 12 months, then that would mean perhaps we had a position that was vacant within the senior management team as well, which perhaps wouldn't necessarily solve the problems that we've got in terms of manpower and capability at that level. So I don't know. I mean, I'm genuinely torn on this issue, because I feel like we do have that process there laid out in the Constitution. And as I say, I'm still not convinced that this is going to save any significant amount of time. I know previously, as Councillor Ives has mentioned, the recruitment process for the Chief Executive took an extremely long length of time. Part of that, I feel, the reason for that happening is that we deviated from some pretty core principles, and we changed our mind at multiple points along the way. And I think that the key reason there was not having, from the start, a clear process through the channels advertised externally. And I just hope we don't make the same mistake this time in actually this not saving too much time and us cutting corners. So I have to say, I'm genuinely torn as to what I think the best thing to do is, because I can see the benefits of us getting somebody in place and in situ, but I have to say I'm not sure if this is going to get us anybody in place any sooner than going through the normal channels. And perhaps the perception amongst members more widely and also the perception of staff members is that recruitment at all levels, perhaps obviously looking, reflecting on the recruitment process for the Chief Executive and that lack there of somebody in a permanent position, I think is probably, there is a perception there that we aren't managing these things correctly. And I think it is quite a radical thing for us to do, to deviate from that process. Although, as I say, having that person there for 12 months does seem sensible to review that position. But if you appoint internally, what do you then do? There's all sorts of questions, and I just don't know, as I say, whether this is the right thing to do or not. And I think I'll listen to the rest of the debate on this.
Councillor Burr.
Thank you, Chairman. This paper has been brought to us by our new Chief Exec, who I think we will all agree has made a fairly excellent start and has some really good ideas and good views. This council, its staff, has been absolutely cut to the bone. Not all of us wanted to see those staff lose their jobs, etc., etc. But this has happened. The strain on the staff is quite unbearable, and the projects that we have got in place, and I'm not talking about this because this is about this building, because that looks as though it's going to be on hold for a while, but we have still got the issue of the livestock market. We do need to give the Chief Executive some support here, and I couldn't agree more that we have everything in place, and I do agree with Joy on that particular issue. But because fundamental changes, maybe in the way we were first going down one route, then we went down another route, then we changed, then went on with the recruitment body, it didn't really go as planned. So we are being asked to support our new Chief Executive because she is extremely under pressure. Now, I know that's not an excuse to say, oh, we've got to do things different, but she's not only under pressure to do everything. Our officers are under pressure who are helping her. And I think that she's also telling us in the body of the report that she is not happy with the actual structure. So the actual structure of this council is not right, and she knows it's not right. And I think she is the best person at the moment qualified to actually enable this particular person, whoever it may be, to help in certain areas and do different things. And it'll give her just a little bit of breathing space to then be able to look at the structure, bring it to us. But you can't expect anybody to do it on their own. So I think there is merit in what has been asked. And I can understand some members thinking, well, why are we doing this? Well, we're doing this because it's quite urgent. And I think what she's probably thinking is she doesn't want all the mistakes or changes to how it was done before. She wants just to get on with it and get it sorted. And it does say a maximum of 12 months, but I think she would probably be envisaging it shorter. I think it's just to take the strain. And I know that it's different, and I know that you know that we haven't done this before, but she is our new chief executive. She has asked our opinion. It's in our gift not to give her that. But on this particular occasion, and I think, as I say, if it is cross-party, I think on this occasion, I think the merits of her asking do outweigh the process that we've just painfully been through. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Burr. Councillor Joy Andrews.
Thank you. Yes, going back to what Councillor Burr said, I don't think anybody is disagreeing that there needs to be a temporary post. I think the Chief Executive knows what she needs, and this is what she's requested. I just think the recruitment process needs to be under our constitution, and it needs to be. Plus, as well, if she is doing it, I know she's going to go to the officers, and there's going to be feedback and questionnaires and things. But this is putting an awful lot on her to put somebody in that post. She will still be part of the interview process. I think previously our former chief executive possibly had the final say on who she wanted or didn't want in the post. So it's not as though this party is going to say you are going to be lumbered with this candidate because we like them. She will be very much still involved, and it's going through the process as it is in the constitution. And it's not going to take, I wouldn't have thought, any longer or shorter than the deviation that's in front of us. So I just think we carry on as normal, and I don't think it's going to go back to the debacle we had with it previously, because I don't think that our new chief executive will let it get to that. It will be a far simpler process. So therefore, although I support the chief executive's need for this, I can't support the process in which we're looking to take it on board.
Thank you. Do other members wish to speak? Yes.
I just have one kind of technical question, I suppose, is that given that this procedure is laid out in the Constitution, is it in the power of a committee and then full council to suspend or do something contrary to what is laid out in the Constitution? Is there a process in place for that to happen, or a procedure by which that can happen, or is it simply that we decide the process, and the process we've decided is that the Chief Executive can make the appointment? Have we done this in the past? Is there any kind of precedent for this? Are we going to get unstuck on the actual technicalities and the rules of this? Has there been any consideration of that so far?
Just refer you to 5.1 of the officer report, which states the council's monitoring officer and head of HR have been consulted as part of this. And whilst the constitution does state that chief officer appointments would ordinarily be the preserve of members or a committee, it is within the gift of council to delegate that decision, and there is a provision within the constitution that states that decisions may be delegated, and that's what this is providing, is a delegation, and it's going to be done from full council. And like you said, I think we do need to consider that this is temporary. Okay, let's go to the vote, please.
Chairman, that's 7 votes for, 1 against and 1 abstention.
Thank you. So that is carried. Okay, so that concludes the business this evening. Thank all members for your attendance and see you at full council next week. Thank you.